Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine, analyze, and discuss various issues and events that shape, challenge, and sometimes disrupt our daily lives. Even before COVID-19, the state of teens' mental health had worsened over the past decade. Adolescence is a unique and formative time. Multiple factors affect mental health. Physical, social, and emotional changes, including poverty, abuse, and violence, can make adolescents vulnerable to mental health problems. Emotional disorders are common among adolescents. Today, we're diving into one of the most important conversations happening in families, schools, and communities across the country: teen mental health. Globally, 1 in 7 adolescents live with a diagnosable mental health disorder. Depression, anxiety, and behavioral disorders are now among the leading causes of illness and disability for young people. Here in the United States, emergency room visits for mental health concerns both teens and parents, and it's risen dramatically over the past decade. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome the Gen Z Lens team. Introduce yourselves, starting with the student producers, please. So we'll start with Simon.
Hi, my name is Simon. I'm in 9th grade at McClay. I like to play tennis, and right now I'm at a French competition in Orlando.
Okay. Arnav?
Hi, my name is Arnav. I'm also a freshman. I like to play tennis, and I actually just had a competition today.
Okay. Sarah.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm a sophomore at McClay. I do track and field and volleyball, and I love to dance as well. And I'm currently just chilling after practice right now.
Okay. And Ava.
Hi, I'm Ava. I'm a sophomore at McClay as well. I like to play the cello, and I also do track and field and cross country.
Well, welcome to 411 Teen. I look forward to talking with you and just getting the lowdown on what's happening with teen mental health. I mean, when adults say there's a teen mental health crisis, does that feel accurate to you, or does it feel exaggerated?
I feel like, if you don't mind me going first,
no.
I feel like it is accurate. However, I feel like in some circumstances it can be exaggerated. I feel like mental health nowadays is like being brought into the light more than it used to be in like our parent and our grandparents' times. So I feel like for us as a generation, it seems more of just an enlightenment period of sorts. Mm-hmm. And for other generations that were probably more quiet about it, it's more of an exaggeration or something out of the ordinary to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, so to add on to what Ava said, I think that teen mental health, especially nowadays, are very prominent issue because there have been more problems than normal because a lot of teens these days had to go through COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think that had a big impact on like their mental health status.
Yeah. In what ways? Just share with us, because what we want to do is we're just trying to find out where you all sit and what you think. How do you think COVID impacted the teens' mental health?
It took away time from important education and schooling, especially in like years where they're developing and learning social skills, mm-hmm. educational skills, core values. And I think that because of the lessened education during COVID, it has impacted these like social skills and had a big measurable impact on teens today.
Okay, thanks for sharing that with us. Where do the other two panelists sit as far as teen mental health crisis?
I personally think that definitely for like COVID, it made a huge impact on how teens think. So especially because when COVID happened, like we were all inside all day. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I would play video games. I was in third grade. Mm-hmm. But I know for teens around that time, like being on social media was a little bit, you know, more of like an escape from it. And I know that's definitely what like a lot of people did. They would, you know, be on TikTok, they'd be on Instagram, you know, Snapchat. And because of that, I feel like those might be reasons that kind of pushed mental health a little bit more. Like, because it technically was, mm-hmm. those social media platforms were there before, but being inside and having mm-hmm. nothing to do all day and like really just being on social media all day, like really kind of pushed it forward. And that's also, if you think about it, that's also why there are multiple lawsuits mm-hmm. against pretty much every major social media company pertaining to how it's causing anxiety, mm-hmm. depression in teenagers.
Thanks for that. Well, I think we will elaborate on some of those variables that you have identified.
And to add on to Arnav, what he was saying, social media, I think, has a really big part to play in like teen mental health, because we see things everywhere. Like on social media, not only do we see cyberbullying, we see like mm-hmm. unrealistic beauty standards. We mm-hmm. see like, people encouraging like encouraging minors to like go into like adult websites when they're older and to like do stuff like that. And mm-hmm. yeah, we see all of that stuff, and we see like teenagers just trying to fit into everything that like the social media lens wants them to fit into, and it's like it's exhausting, and we see that like with their mental health issues.
And I'd like to add on to what Sarah said with social media. I feel like because mental health is so normalized, sometimes people will normalize their mental health online, causing teenagers to kind of want to like relate or want to change the way that they view things or the way that they dress or see things, just to kind of feel like they fit into a group. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when people normalize having like depression and anxiety and these mental health disorders, it becomes almost like a quirk rather than like mm-hmm. a thing that mm-hmm. people are trying to feed into. And I feel like teens and our impressionable minds are looking at that as almost like a clique to be in, like the mental health clique issue group. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ramping it up a little bit because of the feeling to want to belong to something.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that information. Yes.
I think what Ava said is really an example, like I think a prime example actually, of how it's considered exaggerated in a way, right? And it's not saying that everybody who says that they have mental health issues like doesn't have them. It's not saying that they don't exist, but it's saying how like the way that teenagers want to fit in, sometimes that does mean that because like it's more normalized now, like people might want to fit in a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it can be considered a little bit more exaggerated than it used to be, I'd say.
So I hear fit in a lot. So fit in must be really important, no matter what the dynamic is if it's fitting in to have a mental health issue, if it's fitting into a clique group. But fitting in, what I hear you saying, is an important dynamic there.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do teens talk about mental health issues with each other, just kind of casually?
I would say that a lot of teens veer away from telling others, even close friends, about their mental health issues because they're worried that they might be judged or perceived in a way that isn't like normal. And I think these concerns prevent them from telling friends and others like about their mental health problems.
Okay. All right.
I would agree with Simon because like, not only like in real life, but online, I've seen people who are, especially teenagers, who can hide it so well. Like they look like they're just fine. They look like they're happy and they like joke around a lot. But then like maybe a month later, we find out that they've been struggling with depression or they've had suicidal thoughts, and they reveal it to everyone. And it's like, wow, I never expected that from this person, because they've been hiding. And I feel like they just like, they carry the burdens for so long, and like you finally see it, and it's like, yeah, I've just, okay. It's like a pattern that I see a lot.
Okay.
And going off of what like Simon and Sarah said, I feel like mental health problems are associated with like a specific kind of kid, like kind of like the weird kid or like the emo kid. And they, you know, like society, in like the way that society goes, especially in high school, like they're always the kid that dresses kind of like quirky. They mm-hmm. hang out by themselves. And a lot of kids don't want to be put into that group or stereotype that way if they were to share their like concerns with how they're feeling. And so like, I feel like to some extent, all teenagers have some type of insecurity or something that they're dealing with, but some people just don't feel like sharing it because of those stereotypes and because of how we group kids based on how they express themselves.
Is there a lot of stigma? Is there still a stigma about just having mental health issues? Are people able to talk pretty, I don't know, they feel comfortable in talking?
I think that in a era where, in this digital new era where like chats are used to communicate quickly to friends, it can pose a concern to a lot of people that if they tell someone something about their personal self that they don't want others to know, that they're going to communicate it to others, and that it's just going to spread around the school. And I think this is one of the concerns that prevents people from sharing mental health issues, you know.
What stresses you all out? What, if you think about right now, what's going on that stresses you out, just in general?
I feel like a good and probably common stressor right now is school, but okay. I feel like it's the like pressure that it puts on students, especially like students that are trying to do well and get really mm-hmm. far in life. Like the SAT is coming back into the, like for colleges, they're starting to ask for the SAT and ACT scores.
Hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and today is the Gen Z Lens, and we're talking about teen mental health. I had to interrupt you, so would you continue your thoughts?
I was saying that one of the main stressors right now for kids would be school, and especially things like the ACT and the SAT. After COVID, a lot of colleges took a break from requiring those scores. And now that it's coming back, kids are starting to have to crack down and like really study more. And I feel like school in general is just getting like harder and harder to get to the goals that kids are wanting to achieve. The GPAs are higher, the number mm-hmm. of AP classes that you need to take are higher, and things are just becoming to be more and more as the years have gone on, especially coming off of COVID. We're now getting to a point where it's almost irrelevant and like everything is back to normal. And the kids that were like, I'm a sophomore, I've been going to school from fourth grade to seventh or eighth grade during COVID. So now the expectations have just been astronomically risen.
Okay. Well, do you feel schools focus enough on student, I guess, well-being? Or is, again, because what I hear you saying is that school is mainly on grades and performance and doing well.
I really think...
Go ahead, all Simon. Of you, I do want to hear from you, okay?
Go ahead, Simon.
Oh, sorry. So I think that getting into colleges has become more of a pressing issue for teens, especially nowadays, and getting into better colleges is becoming harder. And really, we're taught at school that if we get one B in our life, it's going to be much, much harder to get into the school.
One B? One B? Oh, goodness. That does not sound healthy. Let me hear from the rest of you.
Yeah. Sorry.
I feel like they really try, like, with the guidance counselors, with, like, I'm not sure if all schools do this, but, like, they have, like, activities for us to do, like, I don't know, to, like, kind of bond and, like, calm our minds and stuff like that. So I see the effort that they're putting in, but it's also, like, I don't know, maybe they need to try a little harder. Not saying that they're not doing a good job, but, like, it's just not what we need. Like, taking away, like, our maybe a break time to, like, play an activity that they think would, like, calm our minds from stress, like, that's probably not the best option. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe there could be, like, more looking into, like, what could help us. But I appreciate their effort. Like, I really think that they try, but it could be better.
Well, that's what we want to hear. You know, folks are listening, and they want to hear that from you. If you just feel like, you know, schools are the academics and are very, very stressful, what can we do? How can the schools change? How would you like to see things change? Would teens be more likely to seek help if the schools approached mental health differently? What do you think?
I feel go ahead, Arnav.
Sorry. Well, I feel like the way that schools approach mental health mm-hmm. is more like group bonding activities and like kind of like group activities that kind of go out to like a large group of people rather than like individual like help. And like, as we were mentioning before, mental health isn't really something that a lot of teens like to like talk about with their friends. Like, it's like more of something, maybe like they're very close friends, but like maybe not, like it's not something that they just kind of openly talk about. And so like group bonding activities, like it's not doing as much when you think about it, because I don't think like the people who don't really need it, like they're not going to really mind. And then like the people who like do need it, it's not really pertaining to what they need, because it's more of like it doesn't like specifically tailor to their needs in a way. And it's kind of vague of what they're trying to do. It's definitely like as I think it was Sarah who was saying that they're definitely trying to make an effort, and it's definitely like it definitely does like maybe help a little, but it's probably not what students that have like serious mental health conditions need.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like Arnav makes a good point, and I feel like the effort is there, but I feel like school systems and schools in general need to more so focus on making sure that the environment is like suitable for people to go for help for mental health. Mm-hmm. I feel like, going off of what Arnav said, how it's more of a group activity, it's more like it can be kind of demeaning or embarrassing to be talking about mental health, especially in a group setting. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the stigma or the idea is that pairing teenagers together is supposed to help them like socially bond and maybe make better friends, and that will help. But I feel like what really needs to happen is to build an environment where teens feel comfortable talking about their mental health, or talking to at least one specific person, like a trusted adult, about it, rather than having the kids talk to other kids. Because like you would never go to an 8-year-old about your problems. If you were 8, you would talk to your parents. Like, right. It's not a good idea to put kids that are the same area and the same level in life going through the same problems together to try and fix those problems, when you have people that could be making themselves available that have through these things.
I
agree with Ava. I think that schools should, because I think a lot of children don't know where to go to talk about their mental health. And so I think schools should offer more places where they can go, where they know that the things they will say will stay secret, but they can still have help. So maybe this could come from a trusted teacher, or just encouraging students to talk to their parents about what's going on in their lives, whether that being bad things or good things, so that the parents know what's happening and what they can do to help their child out more.
I think a big part of it is definitely trust, because the way, like the whole thing of explaining to children that, like, or teenagers that they have options, like they can go to like a school counselor and stuff. That works, but you have to enable trust. That's something that's very important, especially for issues like these that aren't really as easily talked about even among peers. So you have to enable trust. Like I've read and just like reading, I'll see like examples of people being like, yep, I told my school counselor what was going on, and they just told my parents, which in some cases can be good if they have a good relationship with their parents. But if like the case is like they're trying to hide it from their parents, for example, or their parents don't believe them, it really accomplishes nothing. So there really should be like a bigger level of like trust, you know?
I think Arnav, that's actually a really good point. And I think that the trust issue is big when it comes to talking about mental health issues, just because I feel like kids are scared to talk about it. Like if you talk to someone and you say the wrong thing, then it's like these are mandated reporters we're talking to. And then also we're talking to, parents who might not understand what kids are going through or just feel like it's not as relevant as kids are making it seem. Like as I said earlier, like it wasn't really talked about in our parents and their parents' generation, so it's exaggerated or like seen as kind of like a you problem. But I feel like the stigma of being scared to talk to adults because you don't know what's going to happen is also a big problem. Because talking to someone who's a mandated reporter about something that's dangerous or something that is, giving you problems could end in a way that sometimes people just don't want to deal with.
When
Yeah,
you
and
want,
to add on to
go right ahead, go ahead.
what Ava said, I think she brought up a really good point by saying that some parents and most adults don't know what the children are going through because the times have changed like drastically with COVID happening, social media ri rising, and really the digital age of childhood. I think it's a completely different environment than what many adults have grew up in. And so some children, I mean, some adults might not know what it feels like to experience childhood in these ages.
When you walk into school, okay, each morning, what does the emotional environment feel like? Do you feel like it's a supportive place? Is it a stressful place? Is it a competitive place or something else? How do you feel when you walk in the morning?
I feel it depends what classes I have that day,
Okay.
but a lot of days I have stressful classes, and it's not really the teacher's fault they're stressful. It's because of exams and content that we have to prepare for. And a lot of days I'm stressed because of this, and I come to school worried about tests that are going to happen that day, concepts I might not understand, grades that might not be ideal for me. And but some days I have classes that I do want to go to that I like having. I love the teachers, I love the content. And so those days I go to school happy, but it's really a 50-50.
I feel like kids also have unnecessary pressures on themselves that aren't necessarily spoken, but they're there. Like I feel like kids are trying their hardest to make all A's or make all A's and B's and do their best in these classes, and they're scared their parents are gonna be disappointed in them. And really most of the time, honestly, that I've encountered, your parents are just like there to support you and they really just want you to do your best. But a lot of times kids will get caught up in the I need to be the best, I want to make my parents happy, I want my friends to think I'm the smartest, and these pressures just kind of build up on you and it takes a toll.
What do you feel that teachers probably misunderstand the most about the stress that you're experiencing? So, what do teachers sometimes misunderstand about student stress?
I feel like one main, like a big thing I've seen everywhere, not just like with teachers, but like with athletes, like a lot, is that like I feel like they forget that we have like seven other classes that we have to do as well. Like sometimes teachers will be like, oh, you need to practice more for this. Or like, I'm upset that like you maybe say like you didn't do this one work, or like you're not showing up to my class as much. Like maybe like you were sick or something, and like you return, you're not as good as you were, and they get upset at you. But like a lot of the times it's like, I have seven other classes, or like we all have like a bunch of other classes to take that are mandatory, and it's not just their class, and like we have a bunch of things to do, so we're just trying to get through it all. And then they forget that, and like it's like, oh, my class only, but like no, we have a bunch of other things to do as well.
Yeah, Sarah brings up a good point with like sick days and absent days, and that really brings the point of flexibility. And I feel like especially in high school, teachers aren't flexible with absences. And so when you are absent, you are mostly required in all of your classes to make up all your work, all your tests. And there is not much time for you to do that. And it can put a lot of stress and a lot of work in a time that's like pretty compressed. And instead of like having no stress so that you can like recover from being sick, or if you go on a vacation to like relax and take your mind off of school, you are still put the stress of school, even if you're not at school, you know, because of all of this work you're missing and the inflexibility of a lot of teachers.
Okay. I think Simon makes a good point, and also Sarah too, because when Sarah, she went off the point that we have seven other classes, and we also have extracurriculars. I feel like in order to get into college a lot these days, it's not just about you made all A's in all seven of your AP classes. It's about, did you have a life outside of school? Did you do community service hours? Did you participate in any sports? Did you start any clubs? Did you do like podcasts like these that were like a part of your daily life other than constantly working on your schoolwork? And I feel like teachers, they want it to be about their class, and they'll give you homework and be like, you should have been able to complete this, you had all this time. And it's like, well, actually I only had about half an hour until midnight because I had seven other classes, I had lessons, I had track, I had all these other things. And sometimes it's not taken into account about our outside lives.
Are there moments in the school day when you feel that you can actually just kind of pause for a second and breathe?
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially when like I have like all my classes, all my homework is finished, like everything's done. I don't have tennis practice that day. I have a free period at that specific time. You know, there's a sub in one of my, like all those things, like those are honestly the best days. And it like, it's honestly so fun, like on those specific days. Mm-hmm. But then I also remember days when I, for example, I went to Miami like 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember literally doing homework in the airport. And like, I'm a freshman. I shouldn't really have that much homework, but like, I was still like doing homework in the airport and like doing, like finishing all my assignments so that when I could come back the next day, like I would have everything done. And I feel like the way that school works is that if you miss like some school, like I did today for my tennis tournament, like I know I have like work to finish that. You know, and it's really like crazy because it's like one day of school, but suddenly you have like 10 assignments to do. And I feel like teachers, they should really kind of think about a little bit more about the toll that it takes on students, a little bit more about than just, you know, giving this homework so they can do this, you know. I think like every small thing helps. Like I know if I think about it, I remember actually for Simon one time, he was going to France for a winter break. And I remember our math teacher said that he could be exempt from our exam. I know, for example, for you, Simon, that made your workload when you were coming back like a lot easier because you still had everything else, but like that definitely helped because you didn't have to study for that and worry about that.
Yeah, especially that I went not really more for leisure, but to see family and to enrich myself and culture. And I did learn a lot while I was over there and learned as much, I think, as I would in school. So it's not like I'm taking a full break from learning and developing my academic skills. It's like a substitute of school. And I think a lot of teachers don't understand that and think, oh, I have to make it even with other students and like apply the same amount of work to this student as I did with other students. And so I was, yeah. And also to add on to the times of days where we're a little free, at McClay especially, we have a pretty big lunch. We have community time, which is basically a free period where we can work, we can talk with friends. And I think we are very lucky to have that. And a lot of other schools in Leon County don't have that, such as Rickards, I know, who has not much time off of academics, not much time to socialize, and a lot of work. And yeah, so I think we are very lucky to have the time we have at McClay to relax. But even
we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. Just hold it for a second. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're taking a brief break.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are talking about teen mental health. When you are stressed, what helps the most? Can you share with us what helps you the most?
I think whenever I'm stressed, I like to just play my cello or like do some of my hobbies that I really like to do. Sometimes it's hard to find time for them, but I feel like in my life, I like to just take a second and like no matter what I have going on, I just need to tell myself that I need to take some me time, for lack of a better word.
Are there activities, I just want to add to that. Now, do you find that certain activities, some of you are in sports or music or volunteering, make a difference in your day and how stressful it is and in coping with stress?
They really do. Honestly, like with sports and stuff, like it's fun and you find the joy in doing it. But along with that, it takes like time. And not just with sports, but like anything that you might do, it takes time. And like, it takes time out of like the hours that you could be studying, the hours that you could be doing your homework. But when you really, but along with that, like, I feel like you learn to manage your time. And if you just discipline yourself and you know how to manage your time, then like you learn how to breathe as well. And like you leave room for yourself to breathe and to just get through the day. And honestly, like this is stuff that you can carry into the adult world. Like, and I don't know, it's just helpful skills that like, I feel like a bunch of teenagers can develop in high school is time management.
Okay.
To add on to what Sarah says, I think taking time for activities, volunteering, sports, music, and hobbies gives us an opportunity to put effort into something that is non-academically oriented and to give us a full break from thinking about school. So when I show up, for example, to volunteer at Teen Court, my mind is focused on something that is non-school related and I completely forget about my school life. And I think that's really helpful in helping me relax and manage my work and life, you know, and balance it out.
I feel like what Simon says is correct, but also sometimes this might sound a little interesting, but I feel like if I have an assignment that I'm like finding it really interesting and I really love the content, or if I have an assignment like I just had a presentation and I love making PowerPoints or like Canvas and things like that, sometimes I do find it relaxing to just sit down and spend an hour like doing research or like making a pretty PowerPoint for my class. Like sometimes I think schoolwork can be relaxing. It's just the time constraints and the amount of it that makes it so stressful. Like math is so fun when I know what I'm doing, but like otherwise, when people are like, you have a test today and a quiz tomorrow and 3 hours of homework, it's just, it's not fun anymore. But I feel like the content itself can be relaxing.
Okay. Other comments? All right. Well, for parents, for that parent who may be listening, what would you want them, if you had one thing that you could tell them, what would you want them to understand?
I was just going to say,
is it listening? Do you feel like you don't have a voice? But for the parents and adults who are listening to this program, what is the message you want to send? What do you want them to understand?
I would like to understand, to make parents understand that school sure is very important, but school is not one's life and shouldn't take over the activities that someone likes. And I want to send the message that to not let school take over your child's life and other extracurriculars, even though it's really important. If a child only focuses on school and doesn't have time to focus on what they like, they can easily like burn out, and the impacts can be much graver than not spending as much time on school than what they like to do.
Okay.
I think Simon makes a really good point with the burnout part of it, because I feel like parents, like I've seen this before where parents will make I went to work all day, and obviously the most that's valid, but it's also like, did you go to work all day and then go to track practice for 2 hours and then go to lessons for an hour and a half and then do 3 more hours of overtime? Like, I feel like it's valid, but at the same time, kids have a lot more going on, and the mental capacity, like, again, kids are younger and they aren't as experienced and they haven't done this before. Like, I feel like adults, they go to work for a 9 to 5, but they're also, you know, in their 30s and 40s, and they've been doing this for a very long time. Kids like Sarah and I are 16 years old, who I've been quote unquote at work since 8 a.m. this morning, and it's 5:20, 5:30, and I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other comments? Go right ahead.
Also, I wanted to add on, if a child doesn't get an A, it's not an opportunity to punish them or take away something that they like doing. It's an opportunity to help them move forward and get better, and not to see a B as something that is punishable, but something that can make, I don't know how to word it, but not a punishment and something that can improve your child, you know?
Okay.
A learning experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Simon makes a good point. However, I also feel like some kids do need to be pushed to their full potential. Because I know a lot of kids who are like great, they're like brilliant at everything they do. And then they make a B, and you know, that was just an off day. And then I know some kids that have the potential to just be amazing, and they just like don't take school seriously, or you know, they didn't study as much as they could have for that test. And sometimes kids do need a little bit of molding and shaping, because mm-hmm. we are new to life, really. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if you know that your kid tried their hardest, and 9 times out of 10 they did, that it is a learning experience, and that things shouldn't be taken away for an oopsie or an off day.
Okay. What advice Do you think parents should know about giving advice to you all? What should parents and adults just say know before they give advice to teens? Because sometimes what I hear you saying is that there's an automatic shutdown. Mm-hmm. So can you say, is it that you don't feel listened to? Is it that you don't feel you have a voice? Because I don't think that parents, they're not intentionally doing this. You know, mm-hmm. they just aren't aware of it. And so if you share that, if you say, you know, listen to me, you're not listening to me, or whatever you are feeling, whatever it is that happens in that communication that makes you shut down or be turned off.
I would say that it's more of a understanding problem than a listening problem, because I think that parents do a good effort and try their hardest to listen to their child's asks, needs, and concerns. But sometimes and a lot of times they don't understand how or why they have these concerns, because they think that they know what their child is going through with childhood and all, because they think that they have also gone through a childhood. But in the days of COVID and the years after COVID, with everything digital being digitized, mm-hmm. it's very different nowadays. And I think it's not a listening problem, it's an understanding problem. And I think being a little more patient with your child, and understanding that you didn't experience the same thing that your child experienced, you know?
Okay. Other comments?
I would just agree with Simon.
Okay. All right. What advice would you give to younger teens who might be struggling right now that may help them in coping?
I think something that would definitely help would just to be kind of like, keep your head up, you know? Don't worry about that life is going to get harder. Because, I mean, even it's always going to happen. Like, it's always going to get eventually harder. Don't worry about, like, things like overtaking your entire life. I think a good key component to it is time management. It's preparation. And honestly, when I was in middle school, I mean, I was so bad at time management. Like, I would always be forgetting to turn in assignments, forgetting to do homework. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that I did that during middle school, because, you know, learning that back then really helped me manage my time now. So I'm able to kind of take on more things like this, for example. I'm able to become a co-producer for this. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, especially if you're younger, it's a little bit harder when I guess you're kind of around this age range already to kind of change how you're doing it. But especially if you're younger, just learn it. It's like, not, I know that the grades don't matter then, but definitely learn to manage your time with sports. And, you know, something I noticed is that if you're not that good at like tests and stuff, if you turn in like homework and do well on easy activities, like you're set for at least having like a solid like 3.5 plus GPA in high school. Like that's if you manage your time well, you can easily get by, which mm-hmm. it's, mm-hmm. I think that's something that helps a lot of people. And I think it's something that really isn't emphasized enough with younger teens.
To add on to Arnav, another piece of advice that I would give teens is that life is a series of phases. And some of these phases can be extremely hard. And sometimes you might be taking hard classes, learning concepts you don't understand, getting bad grades, not having many friends, feeling really alone and dark in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think understanding that things will get better. There will be another phase that will be like coming up shortly is really helpful, and understanding that nothing is permanent.
Okay. I feel like teens need to start being more honest with ourselves, and not only ourselves, but with like our parents or with like just anyone really. I feel like there's a big stigma around being cool or being a certain way. And I just feel like being more honest with who you are as a person does numbers for you and like your personality and how you feel about yourself. I feel like if you start off from a young age trying to be something you're not, or just being dishonest with yourself and your friends and things, it's a lot harder to find yourself in the long run, because then you're just going from ground zero. You don't know what you like. You don't know who you want to be. You just know what you've been trying to be for all these years. And honestly, just starting off honest, or just starting to be more honest, like it just, it, everything kind of falls into place at some point.
One thing I would say is, you don't need social media, not as a kid or even as an adult. Like, you just don't need it. Like, if it's not necessary, because like it really kind of shapes who you are, especially like if you're on it at a young age. Like, that's like when you're growing into the person like you're gonna be as an adult. And when they're on social media so much, then their whole like identity or personality is like whatever they see on the internet. So like, yeah, I'd say that. But also, when we talked about fitting in at the beginning, I'd say just be yourself, and like, not everyone is your friend. And like, if you have to force yourself into like maybe like pretending to like some certain things, or like pretending to speak a certain way, like those probably aren't the people you should be around. Like, mm-hmm. It really matters who you surround yourself around. And like, if you're just faking it till you make it, then like that can really do like numbers on your mental health. And like, who you're around truly matters. Like, they might not think it, but it really does. So like, even if you only have like two good friends, maybe like that's better than having like hundreds of fake friends. Mm-hmm. Like, your mental health will be a lot better.
And to add on to what Sarah was saying about social media, I think that falls into a broader category of peer pressure. So just because your friends do something or like something doesn't mean you should follow them and do the same thing as them. You should do what you like to do, what you think benefits you, and not what others perceive of you, you know? So if one of your close friends gets a social media platform and tells you, oh, you should get it too, it's really fun, don't do it because they're telling you to do it, you know?
Okay. We have 2 more minutes, and I have 20 more questions, but one thing I want to ask you is, how does lack of sleep affect your mood and affect your focus? Because what I heard you all saying is, you know, sometimes you're up till 12 and trying to get this homework done and that one done. So how does that impact how your day goes? How does that impact how you feel?
I feel like lack of sleep can impact how I feel. Like, I'm a lot more tired. I have a lower like threshold for things. My patience is just not there. And I feel like that can impact a lot, like how I study, how I interact in school, and how I absorb the content, because I just have it's literally just a lesser threshold for everything going on around me. And I feel like I actually realize how overstimulating a regular school day is when I am functioning on I don't have enough sleep. I found that it's actually a lot more beneficial for me to go to sleep at a reasonable time and just wake up a little earlier, so that I'm still getting the amount of sleep that I need, but I'm also still completing those assignments. And I start the day with a feeling of accomplishment that I completed those assignments. It's almost like making your bed, and you come home and your bed is completely made, and you're like, I did that. Like, waking up early, I feel like it's just so much better for my mental health than staying up until 12, 1 a.m. trying to get that one assignment done, that you wake up in the morning and it doesn't even look good because you were so tired that night.
Another quick comment, or want to respond to that?
Make it quick. I think prioritizing sleep is very important, because sleep is a very important part of your health and how you perform during the day academically.
Okay. I thank you. It is time out for this edition of 411 Teen. Thank you, Gen Z Lens, for sharing your voices on a deep dive into teen mental health. Young folks today are navigating a world more connected, more competitive, and more complex than any generation before them. Your voice is being heard. Always much appreciation to my listening audience for the privilege of your time and ear, inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. If you would like to participate in the 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Team at WFSU.org.